You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street. No, not here. I'm Greg Sussman. Matt is in Arizona, Arizona Fall League. He's going to watch it with his people. The World Series, of course. Game 7 tonight. Tonight, after a fantastic Game 6. It was just a wild day all around sports yesterday. And, man, craziest NFL day. And, like, transaction-wise in the middle of the season that I've ever seen.
Yeah, nah, crazy day transaction-wise. Obviously, been some shakeups for fantasy football purposes, so we got to get in there and break that down, talk about how we're going to get this Dolphin running back situation squared away. What do you do with guys like LeGarrette Blount and Wendell Smallwood? Not to mention, now we have names like Russell Shepard and Curtis Samuel in the mix. You know, Tyrod Taylor's value goes up. What happens with Kelvin Benjamin? So, a lot of stuff to get through, a lot of stuff to break down, a lot of peeling back of the onion we got to do so we can get fantasy owners ready to go for the next couple of weeks as they push towards the playoffs. So that's why they brought me here, and now I introduce to you the king, Scott Angle.
Yes, thank you very much, my friend. And almost
not
felt
your
like
friend.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my underling, Corey Parson. Yeah, definitely down on the org chart beneath me. And you know, it felt like a baseball, you know, sort of trade deadline yesterday. You know, lots of interesting stuff to talk about.
At least we don't have NFC and AFC only to deal with.
Right? Yeah, it's not baseball, right? Yeah. Fly ball rate.
Yeah. So, ultimately, when it came down to yesterday, these trades were just ridiculous. And we need to figure out, guys, how we react, right? Like, how we react to the trade of Jay Ajayi to Philadelphia, the trade of Kelvin Benjamin to Buffalo. We've been talking about it all morning. I got both of them in a league. And, Corey, that doesn't make me feel good.
No, it's going to be tough. I really don't like the situation of rostering three backs from one team because you're rostering three players for one position. If you're going to do that, I would say make it short, as short as possible. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you got to do that this week, try to fix that next week. If you got to do it for a second week, you don't want to go more than 2 weeks, especially as we push towards the playoffs. By week 10, by the time we go into Thanksgiving, you want your roster set for the rest of the season. So weeks 10 through 16 is kind of what you want it to look like. I would even go as far as to say, you know what, go ahead and empty the clip in Fab before week 16 if you have to. Maybe you save a little bit in case
before
of a catastrophe.
Week 16, sure. That's, week 16 is like 7 weeks away, though.
Yeah, but no, the way I look at it, from weeks 10 on, you should have your, like, you got to make your initial rosters. Like week 10, you should be able to submit a roster and be like, this is my roster for the rest of the way, barring injury.
Well, don't you play in leagues where in the playoffs you can't pick up players anymore?
If you're not in it.
I thought there was leagues where people had... I've heard of this before. When you're in the playoffs and you're in it, your lineups are locked. You're done.
The teams... If you're in it,
sure,
you can still pick up.
Yeah,
but if you're not, you can't touch.
All right. You can't touch if you can't tip.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Watch it on television. It's a sad day as our Halloween set is coming on down.
I'm
oh boy.
I need to go to the minors. I need to go to the broadcast minors.
Why?
Because I keep trying to talk and the microphone's not on, Scott. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. My goodness.
It's a sad day as the Halloween stuff comes down today on All Saints Day. So happy All Saints Day.
Same to you. Happy All Saints Day to you, too.
Thank you. Thank
you. Hey, Scott, you got any? Would you want Delanie Walker?
Four.
Well, I
have Jimmy Graham. So.
Oh, you don't need him.
Yeah. I'm looking for like a wide receiver, three, if anything.
Randall Cobb?
No. I mean, maybe an upgrade over Paul Richardson and Nelson Aguilar.
Kenny Stills?
No.
So it's just
not an upgrade.
It's just Dez and Crabtree?
Yeah. And I got your guy Devontae Booker too.
I'm not going to give you Devontae Booker.
I didn't say that. I'm saying, you know, that's maybe something you want to be interested in, a lower level deal.
But I don't have no lower level wide receiver. I give you Kenny Stills for Devontae Booker.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't need him. It's like, see, I don't think we're compatible in terms of trade.
I don't think so either.
No, it's like, it's interesting. What Corey and I were talking about, it's like we both have co-owners, our friends Brian and Dom, and Brian said to Corey, trade in the GST, Greg. He said, try to trade Russell Wilson to Scott. And Brian, come on. I'm not going to take a guy just because, you know, I'm a Seahawk fan. You know, you didn't know me better than that. Corey told him it's not my first rodeo. Then Dom sends me an email and says, try to get Dez because we have Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott. And I said, Corey's got Dez. He's like, first off, I don't want Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant together because if they score 13 points in a week, we're screwed. But second off, I'm looking
at
Corey's
Cowboys
team.
Cowboys average 30 points a game, Scott.
I'm saying, though, there could be a week, you know, where they play a good defense like they played Denver, and, you know, the score could be down or something. It just could happen. But the main point is, you know, it's not about defending the Cowboys. It's more about that you have Dez, you got Russell Wilson, and this is a lot of times, like, Dom threw out, trade Cousins because we have Cousins and Prescott. Go get Dez. It's not how a trade works. You know, just a lot of the audience, like, people ask me the same kind of questions.
But, Scott, you were the same guy yesterday that was saying, no, throw these trades out there because you never know.
You're not letting me finish, though. Let me finish before you jump in.
Before I tell the truth?
But before you not listen, okay? What I'm saying is you have to look at the other rosters in your league. If the Dez owner doesn't need a quarterback, why am I just going to say, go after Dez? That's who I want. You have to look at the rosters in your league. Corey doesn't need a quarterback, so why am I? I have to look at the rosters and see who needs a quarterback. I just can't say blindly I want Dez Bryant. That's my point.
I want to talk about Kirk Cousins here for a second.
Sure.
And your two teams in trading. You mentioned Kirk Cousins. We talked about this earlier in the show. And Kirk Cousins, Scotty had mentioned, you know, potentially finding a backup. And, you know, Kirk Cousins' schedule is a little tough coming up, facing off against Seattle this week, Minnesota the week later, New Orleans the week after that. So it's not exactly easy sledding when it comes to Kirk Cousins. But, Corey, you had said you had this belief in Kirk Cousins going forward, and you trust him.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's doing it all. He is the offense. Anytime you get these situations where you can't put a finger on one guy. You can't put a finger on JC. You can't put a finger on Pryor. You can't put a finger on Doxson. You can't put a finger on Jordan Reed as a guy that's going to be dominant. That's because the quarterback is spreading the football around and the quarterback is dominant. Kirk Cousins is the best fantasy option on this DC team. He's throwing the football close to 35 times a game each and every week. The volume alone makes me think that the guy is not matchup proof. They've already played against I don't want to say a top defense.
He's not matchup proof, or he is matchup proof?
He's not. I don't think Kirk Cousins is matchup proof. I think you throw Kirk Cousins out there every week. That's why I'm
so
not
he
really
is matchup proof.
He's matchup proof.
Yeah.
So okay, well, you know, you know what I'm trying to say. He's not matchup proof.
He is matchup proof.
Excuse me. So I don't think
that's
Cousins
why they brought me here
and somebody to yell at
and somebody put you in the hospital.
Anyway. So, I'm looking at Cousins, and I'm like, I don't think this is the situation. They're going to go out there. They'll go out to the Pacific Northwest this week. They'll play him well. Will they get a W? No. But Kirk Cousins will probably be something like 25 for 40 with 250 yards and two touchdown passes, and I'll take that. That'll give him about, you know, I don't know. I can't do the points on that, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'm not going to ask you to do math. But, in terms of Cousins, though, I think it's a bad matchup for him this week. But Corey makes a lot of good points, and – you know, I could see that kind of line, maybe, but Here's the thing. After what Seattle gave up last week to Houston in terms of defensively, you know, the NFL, even teams with lesser defenses, and Joe Pisapia made a good point about this, and I think you kind of even saw it with Indy a little bit last week. They're going to come back and say, you know, we're not going to let that happen again. So it's going to be a very tough road to hoe for Kirk Cousins in Seattle this week, because they don't also have the wide receivers to challenge that secondary either. Now, I think
they got Vernon Davis.
I was going to get to that, Corey, so sit back and listen. You know, I was going to say,
I don't have to listen to you. I can take these headphones off and walk out this damn studio right now.
Really? Is that a promise? Corey's right. You know, that's what I was going to say. They do have Cousins. They do have Thompson. But, you know, that Seattle linebacking crew is very formidable in terms of maybe letting big plays up to Thompson. So I don't think – I agree with Corey in the longer term that, you know, maybe he goes up to Minnesota and has a good game. But I'm just saying with the way things intangible-wise are thinking we're going to work out, I don't think it's going to be a good look for Kirk Cousins this week. Or you know what else too, though, Greg? It could be a blowout at some point, and then he's putting up numbers in garbage time.
It doesn't matter to me. Last time Cousins went up there and played against the Seahawks, 21-36, 283 yards and 2 touchdown passes.
What year was that?
2014. So it's a long time.
So the defense was better then. So you know,
but Washington was more defined on offense then too.
True.
Like you knew who the players were.
So yeah. So it was different. Yeah. And you make a good point, Corey, because like sometimes like people read off stats like, oh, he's such and such in his last game, 5 games in Buffalo, you know, and I'm like, well, that's, you know, from how many years ago? The NFL is different every year.
The NFL is extremely different every year, and ultimately, whether the Seahawks blow the Washington Redskins out on Sunday, great. Doesn't matter.
I don't care. I want them to blow them out.
He could end up with that stat line, but there's no upside this week, I don't think.
Well, fine. There's no upside for him to have
I'm not looking for 300 yards or 3 touchdowns.
Right. I don't think he has a Deshaun Watson type of game. I agree with you, Scott.
No.
But I do think that Kirk Cousins is startable this week. And I don't want to do this. I'm going to bench him because he's facing Seattle. Like we had a whole conversation with Deshaun Watson last week. I'm not going to do it with Kirk Cousins this week. I'm just going to start Kirk Cousins and move on.
I think you get an adequate performance, like Corey was talking about. It's very possible to get an adequate performance. But, you know, the minor danger is that he could have a very bad game. He could throw a few picks. And, you know, it's because they have no receivers to challenge that secondary, really, on a consistent basis, it could get ugly too. There's the danger of that. He's not a surefire start.
But he is a surefire start to me. He is matchup proof. I agree with Corey. I'm starting him.
I think it depends on what your other options are. If I've been rostering Tyrod Taylor and Kirk Cousins all along, I'm starting Tyrod Taylor.
Don't get me wrong. I like Tyrod Taylor. His schedule is excellent going forward. And you're right, it is a short week. The thing about Tyrod Taylor is how many times is he going to throw the football?
You know what, though?
Kirk Cousins is going to throw it 35 times. Tyrod Taylor throw it 18 times.
Tyrod Taylor will run for yards.
He will.
And now he's got Kelvin Benjamin, too.
Benjamin playing tomorrow night?
And if they're playing the Jets, I don't see why he wouldn't.
What do you mean why he wouldn't? Because he got to the team today.
He might have a reduced role, but I could see him being in there.
I don't know.
Would you start him? Respect it. If you're a Benjamin owner, would you start him?
Depends on what my other options are, but I can consider it. We've got 6 teams on a bye.
Yikes. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see tomorrow if he's going to be active for Buffalo because...
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like, what if he's inactive?
It's a good opportunity. It's a good chance. Right. I would say it's a 50% chance. At least 50% chance he will be inactive.
You're right.
They play tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's a good chance he's inactive, which is okay because he hasn't a bye week yet. So
I'll do my lineup ranks tonight, though, and I'll tell you what guys I would be starting over Cousins. Like, actually,
we can wait till tomorrow, Scott. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I know you need the help because you're constantly asking at the table, but Jake has him ranked 16th at quarterback this week.
Cousins.
Yeah.
There you go. Scott, check the link.
Check the link.
And have him 16th.
Check the link.
Do you have
Corey.
Jake's rankings up right now?
What's that?
Do you have Jake's rankings up right now?
I can get them for you.
I can get them myself, too. I think maybe you had them up right now. I was wondering, like, is someone like Josh McCown over him? You know what I mean?
I'd have to take a look.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll look straight at the break.
Well, how about you hurry up?
hurry up and punch you in your lip.
I don't know why he's doing that. But yeah, for those Kelvin Benjamin owners, there's a chance he is inactive this week. So you're going to have to be prepared for that. Make sure you're watching the injury, the inactive reports tomorrow night before the game. So to make sure
Corey's
going to
be inactive if he keeps it up.
Probably will still be active.
Not when he's in the hospital.
That's not you. That seems harsh. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about everything going on around the NFL. We'll do it next on the Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So we're back here now. It's the Roto Experts. It's Fantasy Executive. That is the king. I am Greg Sussman. And guys, ultimately, with this Jay Ajayi trade, the indications, Scotty, are Kenyon Drake's the guy, right? Like, but what makes us believe that? Just reading reports, because if they just look at playing time, we did the same thing for Dallas, right? And I'm worried we're making a mistake when it comes to Miami. We have said, Corey in particular, Albert Morris is the guy. Why? Well, he's the one that's been active every week. He's the one that's going to score the touchdowns. So we've all kind of come on Albert Morris, and the only reason we like Darren McFadden is like, all right, he's made of glass. We've kept him in the do not
ice.
Break.
Yeah.
Kept him in ice. Don't break unless we need him. Now we need him. We're going to bring Darren McFadden in. You look at Miami, and in recent weeks, Damien Williams has been the guy. He's seen many, many more snaps than Kenyon Drake has. Potentially has a change of pace for Jay Ajayi, sure. But Damien Williams has been his direct backup, not Kenyon Drake. So what all of a sudden makes us think, other than some people writing, oh, it's probably Kenyon Drake, what from our eyes have we heard or seen that it should be Damien Williams?
I think it's a different situation than Dallas. Because Dallas, you have two veterans who I think a lot of people have regarded have seen their better days, and who steps up. I think, you know, the Dolphins, even though it was the current regime, the Dolphins did draft Kenyon Drake, and I think they want to see what they have in him. And it's not just recently. In preseason, there were some positive stories coming out about Kenyon Drake and how they wanted to involve him more. Damien Williams strikes me, and a lot of people, is, you know, a guy who's probably a change of pace runner. Not that he can't do the job if Drake fizzles out, but Drake is really an unproven guy with some upside, a young guy who's getting an opportunity. And you have to think that the Dolphins probably thought that, you know, it's like we were talking about the Curtis Samuel thing the last hour, but to a lesser degree, we can get rid of Ajayi because we believe in some of the talent that we have. And you have to believe that they like internally, maybe they really like what they've seen from Kenyon Drake, because this guy was drafted and there were very positive scouting reports on him. So I think that's why you look at it. Damien Williams is the kind of guy, and I'm not saying can't be Williams, that they have for depth. They want to step up in a pinch. Kenyon Drake was a guy drafted for some upside.
He was drafted for some upside, but we don't necessarily care about the draft last year. We care about what's going on now. We say it all the time.
Well, what I'm saying is, and Corey talks about it sometimes, pedigree.
Okay.
You know, this guy has more of a, say, pedigree, if you will, not a high net one necessarily. I believe it was a third round pick, but they want to see what they have in this kid. And sometimes, you know, the front office thinking is, we can get rid of one guy because we like what we have internally. I can't believe they believe Damien Williams has a ton of upside. He's a hole plugger. So that, you know, that That's the way I read it.
Corey, have we seen enough of either of those two guys, though, to say it?
I don't think so.
Damian Williams has been around for a while, to be fair. I believe this is like his fourth or fifth year now in the NFL, so he's been around a little while to say that. But he's been the backup to Jay Ajayi, not Kenny and Drake.
Yeah, but the thing about it is I think now with Jay Ajayi going, you get a chance to get Drake in there who features a different skill set. Williams and what's homeboy name, Ajayi, kind of the same. I think Drake is a guy that can do that can do more in the passing game. I think he can do more in the open field. So I'm always going to go for that type of player with that type of skill set because that's the type of player that's better for fantasy. Okay. Damian Williams might be better for them team professionally, but for fantasy owners, I think the gentleman might be Mr. Drake. Drake.
And you make a fair point. We haven't seen Drake, so yeah.
But you say that we lean to what's better in fantasy. But I go back to this Damian Williams thing because I think Scott, we agree that Damian Williams is probably the pass catcher out of the two of them. And in fantasy, don't we lean to the PPR back?
Yeah, well, but
we don't know that with Drake. You know, he could be catching passes out of the backfield. You know, Williams was a compliment to Ajayi because Ajayi caught 7 passes all year, like 21 last year. So, you know, Drake has more perceived upside than, and there's an opportunity there. We always talk about it, you know, opportunity. It doesn't, now you're right. You're making the point. It doesn't lead to production, but the opportunity, it could lead to production with Drake. It's really an easel where we haven't drawn the picture yet, whereas we've seen what Damian Williams is here and there.
The thing about it is he had situations where, if I remember, if not mistaken, in the preseason, early part of the year, training camp and stuff, where Drake couldn't really get down on the playbook, get the playbook situated properly. Not to mention the fact, you know, we're talking about running backs. We always look past the fact that you got to take pass protection into consideration when you're talking about a running back. Kenyon Drake does also struggle in pass protection. It seems like they want to give him the job, Drake. But you know what? You're right. Maybe Williams is better equipped for it.
Potentially. But I don't know. And this is the situation you find yourself.
All we can go about is from what the beat people down there in Florida are saying. And they look to be saying that they're going to give Kenyon Drake the chance to be the starting tailback. And with Damian Williams continuing as the third down back. I don't know. You see, Damian Williams is, okay, you say, well, Damian Williams is the one that's playing more now. Well, because he's a third down back. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas Drake, maybe Drake is more suited for first and second down running also. I don't know. This is a tricky situation right here. But I think, I'm not, listen, pick one and go with it. I'm just not putting all three of them on my roster. Right. I can't do that.
We were talking earlier in the year.
If I was to pick one, I would pick Drake because I just think.
Because Hotline Bling.
Because Hotline Bling. And yeah, and because he's number one male.
We were talking earlier in the year. Who was the handcuff you wanted at Ajayi if you were worried about his knees? And it was all about it. Everybody that's at this table, Kenyon Drake.
I guess. I guess.
But the one guy that was talking about Damian Williams, though, was Tony Sincotta.
Okay.
So I'll be interested to hear what he says later today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the Dolphins side of this trade. Now look at the Eagles side of the trade. I know, Scott, we feel very differently about it. You feel very strongly that when you acquire a Ajayi, this offense changes relatively dramatically. They get a more balanced attack. You give Ajayi the ball. You let him do his thing. And then Carson Wentz will still, you know, be a very good quarterback and a QB1 in fantasy. From an Eagles perspective, this offense becomes more balanced. And Ajayi, obviously, if you're acquiring him, this is... And, you can stop him putting words in your mouth, but Ajayi comes in here. He's the number one guy in this, you know, from a running back perspective, in this offense. He's the guy, and his value as a fantasy commodity goes up because he's a better offense. Do I got that right from you?
Except for the fact that the offense changes dramatically.
Okay.
You know, it's not going to be Miami. They're not going to hand it to him 23 times a game because they have a good young quarterback. And check out the analysis from Tim McCullough on rotoexperts.com right now. He breaks it down. But... you know, what I believe here is that this team, now I was reading Philly.com yesterday and they said this is a clear indication that they want to go for it all this year. That they're in win now mode, okay? Let me get Corey's laugh out of the way. But from a pure...
What, you mean win the division? The Philadelphia Eagles don't win no damn Super Bowls.
Anyway, they're going to try, okay? And, you know, they, at least on the map, you know, they have it correct. Now, look, they've won 7 games. They've beaten who they're supposed to beat. But they have the they played the 30-year schedule. Now, I'm not taking that away from that they've won 7-1. But it's a different animal to win against better teams, but also to win in the playoff atmosphere. You have a second-year quarterback who has no playoff experience. You don't want to have him carry the offense by himself when he gets to the playoffs, okay? So what you do is, and they have the toughest part of their schedule coming up. They play Dallas, they play Minnesota, they play Seattle, they play the Rams.
So we'll see what they're made of.
So what they want to see what they made of. In order to pass the test, they have to can't let Carson Wentz carry the offense by itself. And to get ready for the playoffs, they got to do it in the shorter term, because if they pass this, they pass those tough tests in the regular season, they'll be more battle tested when they go into the playoffs. Ideally, the map is when you go into the playoffs and you want to have a shot to win the Super Bowl, you have a strong running game, you have a heady quarterback, and a good defense. They have an okay defense, they have a heady young quarterback, and they have a strong running game. And I go back to what I know, and you guys can make fun of me. Mm-hmm. When the Seahawks went to back-to-back Super Bowls, they had Marshawn Lynch, they had Russell Wilson, and they had a defense. And it's a copycat league.
Seahawks won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago now.
But what I'm saying is,
I believe it was Russell Wilson's second season, right?
What I'm saying, it was Russell Wilson's second season, exactly. But what I'm saying is, it wasn't that long ago. It was 2014. A lot of teams are still copying that model.
Well, a lot of teams have won a Super Bowl since then.
I'm not saying, no. I'm saying that's a model that works. Always historically throughout football,
sure,
though, you have to have a running game, a good quarterback, and a respectable defense.
Yes, no doubt, no
I'm
doubt
saying
about
it's
it.
Similar to the Seahawks because they're getting a physical runner.
Okay. And I don't think there's any doubt about that, right? Yeah. That you want a running game to compete. And this is a move to go to have somebody in the snow carry the football. I agree with all of that. But it doesn't matter to me right now. What matters to me is how my fantasy team will be affected, Corey, and what Jay Ajayi will do in Philadelphia. Will he score touchdowns now? Probably. Maybe. Probably, I think. More than the zero that he has. I think that's like a safe
bet. He's going from the offense that averaged 13 points a game to offense that averaged 20-something points a game. Almost 30 points a game.
Right. So that's going to get better. But I don't know that they want to take the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands all that much.
No, I don't think so either. I think they still like what they got with Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is showing himself capable just now. And yeah, do they want to slow the game down and run the ball more and get better balance on offense when they get in the playoffs? Yes, but they got to get to the playoffs. And the way they get there with these teams, they got Dallas coming up twice. They got Seattle this weekend. You still got, what's that other good NFC team on the schedule?
Minnesota
on the schedule still. That's gonna be Carson Wentz.
They're going to have to run the ball to compete with all of those teams. So there's going to be more offensive balance. Carson Wentz not going to be a top 3-4 QB, fantasy QB anymore, but still a very good starter.
I don't know if I agree with that, Scotty. I don't think the offense changes enough. I think Carson Wentz is still the man.
I disagree with you.
Yeah, we disagree. Yeah. We disagree on it. I still think he's a top 5 quarterback going forward.
Nope.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So much NFL news going on. We'll continue the conversation next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
The Roto Experts are live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming your way next, it's the Fantasy Football Frenzy with the fantasy executive Corey Parson and his filling guest today alongside Jake Seale, the all-in kid with BFF, Frank Stample. Frank pulling double duty today. He'll be appearing on the Frenzy, and he'll stick around, obviously, for the Fantasy Football BFFs that come your way at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Scotty, another discussion we had a lot earlier on in the program was with Carolina and what they do now. And I felt like the biggest beneficiaries of this trade for me were obviously Devin Funchess and Christian McCaffrey. The one game Kelvin Benjamin missed this year, well, it was clear. 10 targets for Funchess, 11 for McCaffrey. And even though Ron Rivera continues to say, listen, we need to get Cameron Harris Payne more involved, we can't play McCaffrey that much, and we're concerned about McCaffrey's carries, we'll do snap counts tomorrow. But fact is, well, that's why I didn't do it today, because we had other stuff to do, Corey. I was doing it for you. but the fact is, Christian McCaffrey, his role is only growing on this team. And without Kelvin Benjamin, it's going to be massive. In your rest of this season ranks, after this trade, Scott, where do you have Christian McCaffrey?
Actually, we're having a technical issue right now. But,
but you made the ranks!
No, but they're actually like, we're having a tech issue right now, but McCaffrey, to my recall, 15.
So you have 15, one spot after Alvin Kamara.
Right.
Okay. All right. So you have McCaffrey there. Corey,
yep.
You were talking about Christian McCaffrey earlier this year, or this week rather. He doesn't get enough carries. It's a little bit concerning to you. Has that concern gone away with this trade?
Yeah, I mean, just rely on the receptions. You know what you're getting from CMC. You're getting wide receiver type receptions from a running back.
Yeah, the only thing with CMC
now, it's going to limit his touchdowns, though.
He hasn't been scoring at all.
Yeah, because he's catching the ball in the backfield unless he can run all the way. You know what I'm saying?
He hasn't done that, though. It's like he's only averaging 7 yards a catch, so I think. So he's catching, like I've been saying all along, he's catching all these passes, but defenses are clamping down on him. That's why another reason why I think Curtis Samuel steps up, because they open up the offense, and the defenses are trying to take the big play away from McCaffrey because they feel like he's the only guy that can really threaten the defense with a big play type. And when they put Samuel in there, I think it helps McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm a Russell Shepard guy.
Yeah, I can't see the Russell Shepard thing. To me, they traded Benjamin because they want Samuel to step up. This is why they drafted this guy. All the talk in Carolina about, you know, how they need to get Samuel an opportunity. Now he's healthy. Russell Shepard is a
nice... So why didn't they initiate the trade?
It doesn't matter. They can get the phone call and say, oh, you want Benjamin? Fine, we got Samuel. You know, we can go ahead and do this. You know, they acquired Russell Shepard for depth to be a nice NFL number three wide receiver.
But he plays every week.
He can step up in a pinch, but that's how it's been. It's not how it's going to be going forward,
I don't
believe.
So now they're just
going
to stop playing him?
I didn't say they're going to make him an inactive. I said he's a nice NFL number three wide receiver. He's been out snapping Samuel because Samuel was hurt, and they want to ease him back in. But now it's the time that now that Benjamin's gone, they felt they could deal Benjamin because they want Samuel to step up. He's healthy now. He played last week, and they're ready to give him an opportunity. You acquire Russell Shepard for nice depth, and then if, like, everybody else gets hurt, he steps up. But I can't see him being the guy over Samuel going forward.
I just look at the fact that Shepard is the one that's playing close to 70% of the snaps every single week so far.
That's because Samuel was hurt.
All right. Well, when did Samuel come back?
What was it? The last game or the week before? They've been easing him back in.
Yeah, he's still getting. Shepard is still getting the
work. That's what happened.
And if they're easing him back in, all of a sudden he's ready. Oh, now he's good to go.
Yeah, because he's healthy now. He's learned a playbook. He's got practice reps, et cetera. I can't see them playing like a journeyman type like Russell Shepard over Curtis Samuel, who they drafted high.
I think they just have different roles.
Yeah. I think they drafted Samuel to be a starting wide receiver. I think Shepard is there to be a nice number three NFL wide receiver.
If that's the case, then I'll be wrong on it, but I'm putting my money on Shepard.
If you're right on it, I'll tell you you are.
You don't have to. You can just the people know.
Yeah, but you start crying and whining when people don't give you credit.
I'm not going to cry.
Mr. Sussman, why did you give the credit to Florio? You know, he said that yesterday. So
it's Frank, actually.
whatever BFF.
It was Florio.
Whatever BFF.
It was Florio.
Of course, he jumped in and corrected me, of course.
No. I think it's
I know where it is. I know where the double standard lies.
You got it right. It was making
a
joke.
But look, if you're right, I'll tell you you're right. But I think you cut Russell Shepard like the week after you pick him up if that happens. They did not draft Curtis Samuel to sit him behind Russell Shepard.
You know what's crazy? In one of my leagues, someone just pointed this out to me. So the team, well, there's a team that's undefeated, mm-hmm. right? So they're undefeated. They sit at a perfect 8-0, and he's not spent a dollar on the waiver wire.
That's crazy.
Is that not crazy? Not spent a single dollar.
Well, nope. What happened? Wait a minute. What happened for him to be 8-0 and not spend a dollar on the waiver wire? Did he draft Deshaun Watson?
He picked up after week one or whatever. Picked up Alex Smith.
Yeah.
No, whatever. He didn't spend a dollar on him. He wound up. He drafted Ezekiel Elliott. Drafted Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted Doug Martin, and he waited on him, and it worked out. Drafted Zach Ertz.
Okay.
AJ Green was his first round pick, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted Ty Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's made.
Well, he's gonna spend money now.
He can.
Yeah.
He drafted. He has Darren McFadden. It's a good team.
That's all right.
He did a good job. Made some nice pickups.
Who's the wide receivers again on that team?
AJ Green. I didn't tell you Will Fuller is on this team. AJ Green, Will
he
Fuller.
He drafted Will Fuller too?
I don't think so. I think you must pick Will Fuller. Just
picked him up. Dollar Mickey, how long, Will Fuller? Yeah. Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, it's a hell of a job. Hell of a job right
don't
there.
Don't let him go undefeated.
I can't do anything. My team's 1-7. Figure
something
make
out.
Make it 2-7.
Yeah.
Well, I don't play. I do plan later on in the year. I can't imagine.
Try to knock him off.
I'll try. I'm going to fight, man. It's what I do. I'm a fighter.
I don't see that, but you know, well, I think you're more of a lover than a fighter.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
In regards to Kelvin Benjamin, I do want to stress this. I stressed it again a little. Stressed it earlier. There's a very good chance he doesn't play Thursday.
And yeah, no doubt he might be inactive.
And his owners need to be prepared for that. I believe you know,
pick up Russell Shepard.
Russell Shepard could play.
Yeah.
Russell Shepard could
and
play.
Then cut him.
Oh well, yeah. There is a chance Kelvin Benjamin doesn't play on Thursday, but with the Bills, I think his value only goes up. It doesn't really hurt Jordan Matthews or Zay Jones because they didn't have value.
They wasn't doing nothing anyway.
There was no pass catcher. There's nobody that had value on Buffalo besides Tyrod Taylor and Sean McCoy. I think it just does help Tyrod Taylor's value. And we said with the schedule coming up, Corey, we really like Tyrod Taylor going forward. This is only going to help him.
Yeah, I think this helps Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is one of the major members of the trade deadline as it shakes out for fantasy purposes.
You know, I always talk about some quarterbacks like need like a good complementary crew to be better and another make the receivers around them better. I believe Tyrod Taylor is underrated as an NFL and fantasy quarterback because this guy's been putting up points with absolutely nothing. Give that guy some playmakers, man, and he's going to be something.
Well, we say that every year, right? We say that every summer.
He's never
Tyrod
had
Taylor.
A complete complement of playmakers.
We literally say it every summer when it comes to Tyrod Taylor that, like, all right, the playmakers aren't necessarily there. He's not going to be the 4-touchdown guy, but he can, you know, he's going to run 50 yards, and that's a touchdown in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk ourselves out of it, and then there he is, Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
Every single year at this point, he's like, oh, we can trust Tyrod Taylor again.
In the preseason, Corey did a video talking about you may be glad to have Frank Gore at some point, and I think that applies to Tyrod Taylor.
That makes sense.
You'll be glad you have him at some point.
And this is that point.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, boy, this team is savage with buys.
I don't even know what to do.
Sorry. I mean, what do you want me to do, Greg? I can't play fantasy football. These kids have got to eat.
I mean, Braces 2017.
That team won the championship.
That team won a championship. Braces 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Was that fantasy baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. How about that?
And now jack of all trades.
And now your daughter has braces?
She had the braces before. They had to.
Well, that was killing the narrative. You're supposed to say yes.
Oh, well, I just tell them the truth. You know what I'm saying? They had to take care. They couldn't wait on. They couldn't wait on the end of the season. They need to take money up front.
So that kind of dentist.
Yeah.
So what are we playing for now?
What are we playing for now?
Yeah.
Christmas. Can't kill Christmas. Isaiah Crowell and Jameis Winston is trying to kill Christmas, but.
Antonio Brown saved Christmas. Isaiah Crowell killed it.
Who's gonna save Christmas this year?
Huh?
Who's gonna save Christmas this year?
Russell Shepard.
Nah, it's not gonna be Russell Shepard. I don't know who's gonna save Christmas this year, but it will get saved. The fantasy executive will figure it out.
You will have presents, Corey's children.
Oh yeah, my children will have presents.
Your presents, the presents will be under the tree, of course, for them. Martavis Bryant, by the way, one last note on him. Mike Tomlin announced after the bye week he'll be reincorporated into the game plan, but that's 2 weeks away. Don't speculate on Martavis Bryant.
No.
Don't do this thing.
I wouldn't do that. Not at all.
No, I cannot get behind that. So don't speculated on Mark Davis Bryant. Juju Smith-Schuster has to have Pep Pass in the depth chart at this point, right?
Oh, yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster look like he's going to be a thing moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. Would you rather have Juju Smith-Schuster or Russell Shepard?
Juju.
Okay.
Yeah, just get carried away.
Would you rather own Juju Smith-Schuster or Devin Funchess?
Funchess. You got to go Funchess now. He's number one wide receiver out there.
Yeah, I think you got to go Funchess also, Scotty.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Schuster outplayed him, though. More upside.
Yeah, you know, because the offense, I don't know, though.
Devin Funchess is like 10 yards, catch the ball, and get tackled. It's like...
But he scores touchdowns.
I feel like he's going to be 7 for 70, and you know, every week or something like that, within that range where Schuster could just have that blow-up game. They're different type of players.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously so. Different types of players, for sure. But Devin Funchess, number one wide receiver now in Carolina. We'll take a break. We'll come back. The all-in kid will join us, and we'll ask one last time, Damian Williams or Kenyon Drake, and what he thinks of Russell Shepard versus Curtis Samuel. We'll do that and wrap up the program coming up next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Final few minutes of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's Roto Experts program. Coming up next, the All-In Kid joins Corey Parson and his guest today, Frank Stamfel, filling in on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. And with that, we bring in the All-In Kid, Jake Seale. What's up, Jake?
What's up, Greg? How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well, man. How are you?
Good. Jake?
I'm doing good. It took some lozenges. My voice is feeling a little bit better.
Hey, Jake, I mentioned that your week 9 projections and ranks are up on rotoexperts.com right now. You got Kirk Cousins, I think, down at 16. But, you know, we were talking a lot about that. Why do you have him so low? Do you feel like even if they play catch-up, maybe he could have 250 yards and 2 touchdowns?
He's at 13, but, yeah, that's still generally in that range. It's at Seattle. It's the offensive line is miserable right now. They're still missing a lot of pieces. It doesn't sound like he's getting all of them back, and I just don't think we can ignore that. That was part of the reason I was down on him last week, and I'm going to continue to be so, especially, I know that we don't want to put a narrative on top of it, but I think the Seahawks are going to be pretty pissed off after what happened last week at home.
They won!
Yeah, but still...
How much they gave up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, Jake. My feeling about Kirk Cousins is with the way their offense is, I almost think he's matchup proof. To be honest with you, as a quarterback one,
he wasn't matchup proof last week.
No, he was not matchup proof last week but it wasn't the matchup so much.
Rain.
It was the rain and the wind.
Terrible weather last week, and okay. It was that daunted Dallas Cowboy defense.
No.
2.5
then
players.
What was the excuse? What was the excuse on the other side of the ball when things were going right for their offense?
Dak Prescott threw the ball 14 times.
Dak Prescott had 8 fantasy.
I wasn't talking about Dak Prescott. I was talking about the offense. The fact is, rain isn't that big of a factor unless it's torrential or the wind is like 25, 35 miles an hour, and it wasn't.
That was not good weather. Both quarterbacks couldn't throw.
The Redskins can't run the ball. Dallas can't.
I know, but Josh McCown did fine in his weather. The weather was almost the exact same for the Jets.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Mm-mm. Not this time. Sorry.
There were more elements in play in the Washington game.
And that weather got worse as the day went on. Listen, I'm rolling them out there this week. like for example, my other option would be Tyrod Taylor, and I love Tyrod Taylor. I just think that so much of that offense depends on Kirk Cousins winging it. I think he throws the ball 33 to 36 times, 250 yards, two touchdowns.
Jake's got a good point though. That offensive line though is
that's
really
true
banged
too.
Up.
That's
he
does
very,
make an excellent
that's a very,
point with
an
that.
Excellent point that's that we didn't bring up during the show.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. That's why they brought Jake here.
The offensive line is atrocious in Washington. Jake, I know you've written a lot about it. You've talked a lot about it on Target. You guys were on the air as Kelvin Benjamin trade broke. I checked the link this morning. I read the column. But for those that have not an opportunity yet, I know we have about a minute left in the program, but as quickly as you can, Kenyon Drake versus Damon Williams, how do you break that down?
I'm going with Drake. Better talent. I think that if you look at it opportunity-wise, Damian Williams in a passing game, PPR-wise, probably sees a little bit more. They used him last week or last year. Adam Gase likes him. And so I think it's just going to be a timeshare. Wow. Drake's got more upside. Damian Williams is the safer play.
Wow. Adam Gase likes somebody? Amazing.
Corey.
I thought he was incapable of doing that.
Corey. He likes Jay Cutler.
He doesn't
nobody
like
does.
He
might nobody not else
more.
Does.
He might not know more.
What's coming up next on the Fantasy Football Frenzy?
Fantasy Football Frenzy. Today is November 1st, so we'll look back at the month of October. Frank Stanfield coming in from the BFFs, holding it down for one Mr. Matt Madika. So we'll look back at October, talk about some of the injuries, talk about some of the key performance, talk about some of the guys that had bad months of October. So we'll look back. We'll look back to October so we can look ahead, so we can look forward to November.
There you go. Jake, happy All Saints Day to you, sir.
Sure. You too.
I appreciate that.
I think you might be the only person that do the All Saints thing, Greg.
Well, you know, I had a whole plan of talking about Saints and then former Saints, but we got too
wow.
busy. We got too
we've
busy
made
for
some
that.
Deuce McAllister references.
Well, no, former Saints are still in the NFL, Scotty.
Like, oh, okay. you said
so
former Saints.
Score fantasy points, Scotty.
Deuce McAllister's not scoring fantasy points anymore.
You just said former Saints.
For the King, Scott Angle. For the fantasy executive, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching and listening.
Corey Parson, not Matt Modica.
My bad. We'll see you tomorrow.